have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host, KB Cam.
Much pain, doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I asked the Lord if he would change my heart. A touch from you would provide a brand new.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. One of the best ways to evaluate the strength of your financial position is by calculating your net worth. The definition of net worth is simply total assets minus total liabilities. We often talk about items which comprise building total assets, such as purchasing a home, increasing savings, and investing in a 401k. And of course, we all have awareness of our liabilities and know that it is best to minimize our debt. Net worth pulls both of these areas together to provide you with one number, which is an indication of your financial health. The higher your net worth, the stronger your financial position. To calculate your net worth, you must first make a complete list of all of your assets that can be sold for value. This would include your house, car, checking and savings accounts, investments, jewelry, and cash value on insurance policies. In order to gain a good estimate of the value of your house, you may want to go online to the Zillow website. For your car value, refer to the Kelley Blue Book website. Once you have them all listed with the estimated value, you must add them up to get your total assets. Next, you must total all of your debts, your mortgage, credit cards, car notes, student loans, and any other debts must be included on this list. Once you have added your assets and your debts, you simply must subtract your total debts from your total assets. The net number will be your current net worth. This is a good starting point to establish goals for your net worth for the future. No matter what your net worth the first time that you calculate it, you have an opportunity to increase your net worth, which would strengthen your overall financial position. You should continue to work on improving your net worth each year. As you seek to improve your net worth, focus on spending your money on items that will keep increasing your value of total assets while reducing overall debt. You should increase assets purchased that maintain value, increase in value, or increase in value and provide income as well as such as investment property. Minimize buying things that are going to simply take cash from your pocket. When you buy clothes, food, electronics, decorations, cars, entertainment, you are generally using cash for something that is going down in value and therefore decreasing your net worth. But if you spend money on buying property, funding a Roth IRA, contributing to your 401k, building an emergency fund, buying mutual funds or dividend-paying stocks, you would have a much better chance that it would be worth at least what you paid, and it will more than likely be worth more than you paid for it. Of course, we all must spend money on items with declining or no value. But our goal should be to ensure that we focus as much as possible on spending, which improves our net worth. Calculate your net worth and begin making financial decisions which help you to increase the strength of your financial position. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest D. Richard, Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor. This is this week's Gospel News. A contemporary gospel vocalist by the name of Jonathan McReynolds, he's best known for his uplifting pop and R&B-infused sound. He broke through with his 2012 debut, Life Music, which peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Gospel Charts. McReynolds has remained a chart favorite, hitting number 1 with 2015's Life Music Stage 2 and 2018's Grammy-nominated album, Make Room. In 2020, he issued the EP, which included created the Grammy-winning single Moving On. In 2021, he appeared on the soundtrack for the film Adventures in Christmasing. He was born in Chicago, Illinois, on the South Side. He was briefly a member of the group Mind Over Matter, which released an EP before he went solo. McReynolds recorded a short set of songs and distributed them to family members only, with no intention of it being an official release, but it reached the hands of John Hanna, a local pastor and DJ who aired some of the material on Chicago's WGRB. The very unofficial EP was eventually released to the public and showcased Jonathan McReynolds' contemporary singing style. In April of 2020, Jonathan McReynolds earned a Best Gospel Performance Song Grammy for the track Moving On. The following year, he saw the release of the single The Greatest Adventure, which appeared on the soundtrack for the holiday film Adventures in Christmasing. Active since early 2000, Rudy Currents is a singer, songwriter, keyboardist, and producer whose collaborative work and solo releases have covered the genres of contemporary gospel, R&B, and rap. The Rock Hill, South Carolina native has co-written songs for the likes of Maya, Ray J, and Quincy Jones. More notably, he contributed to a pair of songs on Lecrae's Dove and Grammy-winning album, Gravity. He and Donald Lawrence composed Karen Clark Sheard's 7 a.m., a Grammy-nominated recording. As an artist on his own, Rudy Currents has released the R&B-oriented albums More Than You'll Ever Know in 2003, Here With You in 2006, and Digital Analog in 2016. The gospel number Testimony came along in 2017 and was issued as the lead single for another full-length album entitled Stained Glass Windows. Coming up, there's going to be a biopic made on the life of Bishop Marvin Sapp. Chaz Lamar Shepard from Marvel's Luke Cage and The Game will take on the lead role as Marvin Sapp. Also joining him is Amber Anderson from Power Book 2. She will be cast as Marvin Sapp's wife, Melinda Prince Sapp. The film is scheduled to be released this August of 2022. Well, it's that time of year again. The Stellar Awards are coming up this July, and each week we're going to bring you a list of the nominees. This week, let's get it going with Category 1 for Artist of the Year. The nominees are CeCe Winans, Jonathan McReynolds, Maverick City Music, Pastor Mike Jr., and Tamela Mann. In Category 2, Song of the Year, All of My Help, Amazing, Believe for It, Help Me, and Gyra. Category 3, Male Artist of the Year, Israel Houghton, Feels Like Home, Kalante Gavin, The Now Experience, Pastor Mike Jr., I Got It, Todd Delaney, Anthems and Glory, and Travis Green for Oil and Water. Category 4, The Albertina Walker Female Vocalist of the Year. The nominees are Bree Barbineau, CeCe Winans, Kelly Price, Kim Person, and Tamela Mann. Category 5, Duo, Chorus, Group of the Year, 1K Few and Lecrae, Dawkins and Dawkins, Israel and New Breed, Jonathan McReynolds and Mally Music, and Maverick City Music. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Maverick City Music and Elevation Worship, Gyra. 9, Charles Jenkins, Fellowship Chicago, Stephanie Mills with Never Knew Love. 8, Joshua Rogers, Still Gon' Trust. 7, Jacqueline Carr, My Portion. 6, Byron Cage, You Are. 5, Rudy Currents and Chrisette Michelle, No Greater Love. Number 4, Dawkins and Dawkins, Come By Here. 3, Tamela Mann, He Did It For Me. 2, E. Dewey Smith, Your Presence Is a Gift. And our new number 1 song comes from Pastor Mike Jr. with Amazing. Well, that's your top 10 songs, your partial list of this year's Stellar Award nominees, and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And we do bless God for this is the day that the Lord has made. It's a day that we've chosen to rejoice in. As always, you can hear Nina Taylor along with my beautiful wife right here on The Pastor's Corner. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., welcoming you to this edition of The Pastor's Corner. Thank you for taking the time of your out of your busy schedule to come and hear a word of encouragement and the current events and things that are going on. And today is a rather not melancholy, but somewhat sad show today, as by now many of you have probably heard. We have to go back a little bit, and we'll go back to the shooting. It's up in Buffalo, New York. And then here we some 5, 6, 7, 8 days later, we now find that there has been a third round of shooting of children, this time in Boale, Texas, where 19 children died, 2 adults in the process of trying to save the lives of children. And the really, really sad part is the so-called higher-ups, the people who are in charge or who are supposed to be governing, the governing bodies called our U.S. Senate, House of Representatives. And I'm going to even throw our president and vice president in this mix. Yet we're still at a standstill when it comes to amending and coming up with gun control laws. I don't want to go too much further because I have no idea who is with me today. So let me take a moment to first and foremost to say hello to my dear friend and the producer of my show. She's been with me for the last 7 years, and I bless God for everything she's ever done. Sister Kimmy Kim, how are you today, love?
It is a good day, and I'm going to continue on giving God the honor and the glory. So I am just grateful to be on with you. How are you doing, my brother?
I am so elated at the fact that we are into our 7th year here. And I'm trying to invite some individuals to come on. I'm I'm baffled at what happened in Texas. How is it that we let this happen? What do I say to this? What do I say to such a tragedy? What do I say?
What do you do? I mean, you can't.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. What do I say? And I'm sorry, I was texting someone who wanted to come on, and I had to send them the number real quick. I do apologize. I'm sorry. It's like I'm not getting overwhelmed with a lot of stuff, but what I am getting is people responding. And really, tonight's topic is going to be relatively simple, but let me continue to see who is here. As a matter of fact, you tell me who's here. That's the best way to do it, because if I sit there and start guessing, I'm going to miss somebody and mess something up. What do you think?
Well, it's up to you. I see a 301 number. I see a 314 number. I see a 678 number. That's all I see right now.
All right, 301. Are you with us tonight, or are you just listening tonight?
Well, that's probably me, I suspect.
Oh, First Lady. Don't go anywhere, First Lady. Stay with us. I am looking for another individual in particular, and I really do hope she joins us, a couple of members of the Power to Stand Board of Directors. I'm looking for Sister Courtney. Have you made it?
She's
Let me find
yet.
Out, first of all.
Not yet.
Oh, she's not on yet. Text her, Sister Richard, and tell her to come on. Let me check and see. Apostle Whitlow, are you with me tonight? Okay, no Apostle Whitlow. How about you, Apostle Smith? Are you with us tonight? Okay, no Apostle Smith. What about Pastor Henderson? Are you with us tonight?
And then another 301 number came on.
Okay, that's Sister Courtney. Sister Courtney, how are you? Unmute yourself. Who do we have in the other 301 number? Sister Courtney?
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, well, bless your heart. This is Sister Courtney. She originally was from Maryland, but now living in the Florida area, and of course being a mother of two and having to deal with these school systems. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to go from there. It's just a general discussion. Let's pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the entrance of your word, which always brings light. God, if it had not been for your hand upon each and every one of us, God, where would we be? Now, Lord, as we get ready to take ourselves into the portions of this particular show to talk about a variety of things. God, we're praying for your hand to be upon us. Lord, we need to hear a word from you. We need answers, Father God, in a time when it seems like the world is unable or unable to give us answers. Father God, we're calling upon your precious name to help us to better understand the situation and the circumstances. We yield the rest of this service into your hand, into your charge, into your care, and ask that you would lead us, guide us, guard us, govern us, protect us, and help us to have a healthy discussion concerning the issues that pertain to life and godliness. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies, first and foremost, let me give you opportunity and chance. Now, I know even in our Bible study last night, we opened up this very same way. So I'm going to do the very same thing. Having heard the information and things that have taken place down there in Uvalde, Texas, as well as up in Buffalo, New York, and other areas, Sister Courtney, let me start with you because you're pretty much a newcomer to us. What goes through your mind knowing that you have two children that do, well, school's just about over for most children, but knowing that your children are going to school and will not be in your presence, what goes through your mind when you hear of these tragedies that have taken place, especially with the killing of children? What goes through your mind?
We have to pray. That's the first thing. We definitely have to stay in prayer. My children, I live in the Tampa Bay area, and my children, their last day of school, my son's last day of school was yesterday. So pretty much when I heard about things on Tuesday, I was in prayer for the families, I was kind of telling everybody I can't really go into that because I got one more day. And I don't know how I'm going to get through this day, you know, when I really start thinking about it. But as we discussed, I had a conversation with another parent that I'm good friends with. And my daughter attended the same elementary school that my son now goes to. And there was a situation where, and this was a very minor situation, it was a misunderstanding between a student and an adult at the campus. And they were looking for the adult. So they locked down the school. I had dropped my daughter off for an early appointment, a choir rehearsal that morning. So she had texted me. I said, Mom, come get me. They've locked down the school. So I live, the school's right in my neighborhood. I went right back up to the school. But there's parents that are doing the morning drop-off at this point. And so I had to explain to my friend, you know, I'm okay and comforted because there's a gate to get into the school. And the way the schools are set up here in this area, most of them are one level. There are some that are multi-level, but this is one level. And you have to go into the office. So if you go into the office, there's one door that lets you out to get to the rest of the campus. So if somebody were to get into the office, which is always locked, they have to see you first before they let you in. You'd have to know how to get out of the office. That's not easy. And then so if something were to happen, they can immediately alert the other teachers to lock down the classroom. And unfortunately, they are doing active shooter drills with the students. So that and, you know, the fact that I'm asking for God's grace to cover them was the only way that I was really able to get through things.
My God. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And help my friend to, you know, be willing to send her because we both are kindergartners. And she was like, is it wrong with me not to want to send him? And I was like, it's not. But, you know, this is where I'm at with it. I was like, we just have to pray God's grace on them and, you know, hopefully and pray for their protection.
Amen. Amen. Well, Sister Kimmy Kim, and I know that your two girls are basically in high school, you might as well just say, but still, that same ordinance, because we go back to the schools in Colorado, if you remember, when high schoolers were taken out. What goes through your mind as you know, sending your children off and praying that God, they will return home. I mean, it has gotten to the point where now something needs to be done. And I am not understanding our government and why they are handling situations of this caliber with kid gloves. So, Sister Kimmy Kim, my question to you really is, in your mindset, you know, how are you seeing this in your mindset?
How I'm seeing this in my mindset is beyond, like, how could anyone do this to young children? I mean, it's sad. And the sad part about it is that he blames, I think he was living with his grandmother, and so he blames his grandmother or grandfather for, you know, his, I know he was, you know, having issues with his mom, and so he was still with his grandparents. But just the fact that he murdered 22 people.
Sister Sharon, don't too far. I'm going to come to you in a minute. But think about this for a minute. First and foremost, who in their right mind is going to shoot their grandmother? Come on here now. Mm-hmm. How many times, and I'm not going to, I can't speak for none of you, but I'll speak for myself. You know how many times my grandmother saved my hide from getting whooped by my mother? My grandmother was my best friend. That's me. This is Ernest 1&1. You can catch me on a more transparent note at this time. My grandmother, my mother's mother, Maybelle Blanks, that was her name. She passed back in 1994. My absolute best friend and the main reason why I am who I am and where I am today. I would not be entering the bishopric, would have never become a pastor or anything of that nature. My grandmother used to take me to church with her. And I can recall days when I didn't want to go to church and her little persuasive soft voice would figure out a way how to get me to come to church, even got us to start a choir. We thought we were something hot. Let me tell you, songs like Going Up Yonder by Tremaine Hawkins were available at the time. And we sitting there calling ourselves singing, me and my brothers and sisters and our friends, our God brothers and God sisters and a couple of community friends. I'm going up the yonder. I'm going up the yonder. And we knew he was throwing down. But I accredit that to the matriarch of the family in the fact that who shoots their grandmother? I'm sorry, y'all. Mm. I mean, I might sound a bit wild, but who shoot? Go ahead.
It's just crazy, and it's just crazy for me just to think about children dying, and I'm sure.
Yes.
That they thought that they would be home that day. So that is what I'm just
flabbergasted
right
about it. I understand. Sister Richard,
yeah,
is still with us? Give me a second.
Yeah, still here.
All right, well, let me get your take on it, and just whatever is in your heart, pour it out. And I want to remind all of you, my guests who are here, as well as you, the listening audience, this show is raw, it is real, it is relevant. We don't hold back. We say what we think or what we feel, and we're not afraid to speak up. So with that being said, dear heart, go ahead.
I mean, I guess this was already been said. I mean, my heart really aches, you know, for the children. Honestly, you start thinking about, you know, because I don't understand why it took so long for the police to go in. And I'm just imagining these children in total fear.
Yes.
For what turned out to be the last hour of their life. And then
my
the
God.
Kids that were in the rooms across the hall or next door or whatever in fear. And watching this little boy on the news talking about, you know, what happened and, you know, what he was able to see. And he's in second grade. And, you know, my heart just was so broken just to hear him and
you know, he talked about now just being afraid of guns. He's worried about going back to school for fear for his life. And our, you know, a child shouldn't have to live like that. They shouldn't have to have that fear. They shouldn't have to go through that. And kind of like, you know, my sisters have said, you go to starting to think about the children in your own life. And I, you know, honestly, I mean, I had a conversation with Sister Courtney, and I was like, you know, I know my brain was thinking, heck, I'd want to start homeschooling. But I know you can't shelter your kids from everything forever, but it does make you more fearful about, you know, having them out there. You know, obviously we have to remain prayerful, and definitely we have to expect more from those who hold public office to make decisions that will hopefully at least reduce the amount of these assault weapons that are out there. You know, I know they can't completely get rid of them, because we know evil will always find a way to get their hands on it. But even if they put some laws in that would at least reduce what's out there, it makes no sense that there's more, you know, guns out there than there are people in this nation. It makes no sense that somebody who only, you know, turned 18 like 6 days before can, you know, go out and get a couple of guns and go on a rampage. And, you know, to your point, a conversation we had, you know, you can't drink at 18, but you can go buy some assault rifles. I mean,
a firearm, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense to me either, you know. And I mean, and then on top of that, let me throw this in there. Thank you so much. The NRA is still going to host their convention tomorrow in, of all places, Houston, Texas. Of all places. They're still going to host their convention in Houston, Texas. And whereas I'm not knocking them for hosting their convention, I'm kind of sideswiped at the very fact that they're going, they made the statement, the president turned around and made the statement that they will reflect, can't get my words now, they will reflect on what has happened in Uvalde, Texas. Okay? Nowhere did they say they would discuss and come up with tougher and stronger measures to help prevent this from happening. Now, the last time I heard those words, for some of you who are listening, if you remember the Newtown, Connecticut incident, that was the last time we heard those words, we're going to implement tougher laws. Well, maybe the laws didn't get as tough as you thought, because here we are some almost, 12, 14 years later, and we're right at square one. Now, I know the shooter was murdered in the process, so we'll never understand the mindset because he's no longer here. I'm not buying the mentality thing, because here it is in a nutshell. I'm going to do two incidents. I'm going to do Uvalde, and then I'm going to go back to Buffalo. You had the sense of mind to go to a gun store because you were of legal age. Now, I personally, this is Ernest 1&1 now, so your salvation is not perched on this, but I would actually go back and question the gun shop owner. You know, did you notice anything about this guy? Was there anything suspicious about him? Was there anything about him that made you uneasy? Because personally, I'm like this. I don't own a gun shop, but if I did and I'm getting ready to sell you a gun and I see you're acting a little strange, I'm going to refuse you service. Simply because of the fact that I'm not sure what you're up to or what you're about to do, but I tell you this much. That gun will not be purchased from my shop where I have to give an account for your foolishness. That's just Ernest 1&1. Anybody agree or disagree with that?
Mm-hmm. I agree, but I heard something that I think is to your point, and I haven't checked out fully this, but I've seen it multiple times today.
and yesterday. There have been more victims of mass shootings than there have been days of the year this year.
Yes, that's true. I heard that as well.
And you likewise, I heard the same thing.
And I also heard that there's more children that are dying from gun violence than there are from a car accident.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And there is truth in that. And why is it, see, and I could go ahead and get scriptural on you right now, and we could talk about the spirit of greed, because really when you break it down, the reason why nothing's been done in this region, in this area concerning gun violence and things that pertain to it, there is a great level of greed that we don't see behind the scenes as the average everyday consumer. And what goes on is lobbyists go up on Capitol Hill, and they persuade some of these senators and some of these congressmen to vote a certain way concerning certain things. There was a gun law that had been passed 2 years ago, as a matter of fact, and the Senate has yet to vote on it. It's been sitting there up on Capitol Hill for better than 2 years, and to this point, nothing has been done about it. Now, that tells you something right there when a bunch of men and women can go up into and call themselves having a general session and still refuse to sign on something into law that would help to shift and change the way things are done. And all that last bill that's up on Capitol Hill 2 years ago said was that there would be background checks. And if there was any felony in the background check, that they would not be allowed to purchase a gun. They wouldn't sign that bill simply because of the fact that they have friends and acquaintances that would be disqualified from purchasing a firearm. That's the main reason why they never signed it. And so here we are at the end result of them deciding to put this bill to rest or allow this bill to die on the table. Now here we are again for the second time facing massive gun shootings, people being murdered needlessly. How long, and I know I'm trying not to get into our Bible study from last night, but we talked about Psalms 94, and the question was asked in that second or the third verse. It was the third verse of Psalms 94, and it says, "How long, O Lord, shall the wicked prevail?" And we're asking these questions today. How long? I mean, how much more are we going to have to put up with? Now, I know that the scripture is pretty plain and very precise when it says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It also tells us to fret not ourselves because of evildoers, and it gives us the reasons why we need not fret ourselves. But at the same time, from an emotional standpoint, and if any of you agree with me or even disagree with me, please voice your opinion. As a spirit being living in a physical body, I have a human element about me that cries out, God, when are you going to do something? Does anybody else go through that? Maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
Come on, ladies, talk to me.
I mean,
go ahead.
I agree. And I want to go back to something you said earlier with it being about greed. And I think it's greed, but I think it goes back to the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to love our neighbor and care for our neighbor as Jesus loves us. And somehow that gets lost. It gets lost in translation when it comes to talking about guns. You know, some people would rather have their guns than have access to their guns. You can't block me from my access to my guns in any way, shape, or form, even if it means possibly saving the life of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Or just anyone. There's a certain population that will not let go of their guns. And, you know, I have a lot of military members in my family, and, you know, they're feeling this tragedy and, you know, all that comes with it. But, you know, the thing is, guns don't kill people. People using guns
people.
Kill people.
Yes,
and really,
I agree.
We have to And I mean, and we, as we discussed, you know, yesterday, yeah, it's about knowing God and having a relationship with God. But then some of the evangelical Christians are the ones, you know, supporting the NRA.
Yes. A lot of people didn't know that. I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of these evangelicals are supporting the gun laws and have even put money into the NRA's pocket to push and press to keep things business as usual. And yet still, you know, and a lot of them don't think God's going to hold them accountable. They just sort of kind of think that they're just going to pass through, mosey on through life, and nobody's ever going to say a word to them about anything. Well, I got news for you. What's done in the dark shall come to the light. Anybody agree with that?
Yes.
No, yes, I ain't sure. Think about it now. Because basically, if you are supporting something that's creating more harm than good, do you think for 35 seconds that Almighty God is not going to address this issue concerning you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people think that God is so stupid that he can't see what's going on. I'm just not understanding that. Really, if you realistically broke it down, a lot of these people are under the impression that God just turns his head and looks the other way and pretends like it's not going on, when God crystal clearly sees what is being done, how it's being done. So now what are we going to do? I mean, we could talk about the problem all afternoon long. But all right, let's play Senate. Let's play House of Representatives. Let's play political for a second. Either one of you, Sister Kimmy, I'm gonna start with you since I haven't heard from you in a minute. If you were in a position where you could change some things, what would you change concerning these gun laws?
Well, like we've been talking about, I would change how people can easily access them, like we were talking about on Tuesday, you know, how, you know, you have to be 21 to drink, but you can go and purchase a gun in Missouri at 21, but you can, if someone buys the gun for you in Missouri at 18, you can hold it, and that's crazy. So the laws must be changing. There should be more high-level background checks. I think that is one thing that would change. But like she said also, it's not the gun, it's the person behind the gun. So you must be thorough about who can receive them. And when that is done, I really believe that can help. But at the same time, it's just a little sad, you know. It's really sad.
It is sad. But, I mean, you know, what we're trying to do here now is create a solution. As we got just a few minutes left, about 15 minutes left. We're only going to do a one-hour set tonight. I'm not going to press for anything with longevity to it because, I mean, you know, this is one of those nights where you don't want to spend all day on radio, but you want to do just enough because there is a show that has to be produced and has to come forward. Sister Richard, question. You are in the Senate. I'm going to make you the Senate Majority Leader for a moment. Gun laws need to change in a way that is going to work for the people. Any ideas?
Well, I know they've resisted the background checks, but to me, I don't understand why they shouldn't have background checks. I read something where someone said, hey, and in fact, I think it's one of the artists that was scheduled to sing at the NRA convention backed out. And his, you know, his comment was, well, I have supported the NRA, he says, I simply believe there are some things that we can do. And background checks, you know, not everybody should be able to get a gun. And I do believe they should implement background checks. I do believe there should be a minimum age. We know that scientifically it's been proven that the brain doesn't mature
for some time. I believe in men, their brain's not fully developed, I believe, until they're 25. And women, their brain's not fully developed until they're 22. So certainly I would think that they would have some age minimum of probably 21 before someone can get a gun. And I also think they should institute background checks and even consider a waiting period. So
yes,
even, you know, before they're allowed to get the gun. Because at least if you have a waiting period, someone who's, you know, operating, you know, from an unstable position, even mm-hmm. though that few days waiting period may be enough for somebody to realize that they're not functioning in the right way, and it may prevent something horrible from happening. So those are a few things right off the bat that come to mind, and then probably the other one I alluded to earlier, which is, you know, an ordinary citizen has no need for an assault weapon.
And I agree 1,000% with you. Thank you, Senate Majority Leader Richard. Senate Minority Leader Casey. Yeah, you go. Mm-hmm. Talk to me. How would this work? What would you do, given the opportunity and the chance to be able to deal with this whole situation of gun control?
There's so many different things. I agree with Sister Richard that it should be – why do we need it?
Good question.
Why do we need them? Like, I understand people want to for protection. I understand that, you know, hunting and fishing, and they're gun enthusiasts and whatever, and I don't wish to intrude on that. And I think, you know, if those are the reasonings for having them, that's fine. But – We've really got to start looking at so many different things. Looking at our children, we're looking at what resources and what are we promoting, what are we doing, how are these guns being used. I would think implement limits. Why do you need more than two guns?
You got a good point there. Why do you need more than two? I know Big Baby want to shoot too, but no. Big Baby got to learn how to shoot first. I shouldn't make light of that, but at the same time, you know, I'm understanding you. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me let you complete your sentencing.
Like I said, I come from a family of gun enthusiasts, and you know, gun safety is taught from an early age in my family. I have never owned one, but and even, you know, if there's a gathering of family members. Again, gun safety is taught to the children and what have you, and they are very careful with that. But there's so many different things, and there's so many different ways. In my line of work, it's been stated, you know, I work as a realtor, so, you know, the thought is, you know, you should have one for protection, but I also have a 13-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I just, you know, it worries me of the possibilities that could happen to having something like that in my house and one of the children were to find it. So it's all those things. So, I mean, wrapping up with all those things and thinking about that, you know, limit on how many guns you have and what is the purpose for these guns and how are we tracing these guns? Because there's too many guns that are just, you know, something gets stolen, it's never reported, and then, you know, 4 or 5 years later, it's used to kill somebody. And then, you know, you're tracing prints and you're tracing back. You don't know where this gun came from. And, you know, people aren't being careful with them. They're not storing them properly. You know, little Johnny down the street comes to play with Matt and, you know, ends up dead. And, you know, Johnny's mom didn't even know that Matt's parents had a gun in the house. So, I mean, why do we need them?
Listen, you get no argument out of me other than what you said earlier, previously, about having hunting. And then again, if you're hunting, do you need a rifle that strong? Or if you're shooting from a distance, I get it. But do you really need a gun that powerful? Seriously, do you? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Listen, I'm going to begin to wrap this up. Like I said, we're not going to spend a lot of time. Ladies, I do appreciate you being with me tonight. I know you all have busy schedules. I want to thank you, Lady Sharon Richard, for taking the time to be with us on this given day. I thank you also, Sister Courtney Casey, for taking your time and just expressing your concerns. Any final comments, ladies, before I begin to close the show? Courtney, we'll take you first.
Thank you for having me. And, you know, we're just continuing to be in prayer and continue to pray for our children. And hopefully no one else has to die before they decide to change the laws.
That's a good observation. Sister Sharon?
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. We definitely have to stay in prayer. And I also just really believe that we also have to be faithful and diligent about sharing the joy of the Lord, sharing the word of God with as many people as we possibly can, because I still believe that above all things, that love can defeat any sort of evil that wants to penetrate. And I think a lot of this is symptomatic of a much bigger issue, which is the numbers of people out there that don't have that commitment, don't have that relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think if it were where it needed to be, I believe that lives will be changed. People will be changed. And I think that is what is the beginning of really starting to bring about what we need to see from this nation and the world. So
dang.
I know that may sound sort of like it may sound sort of corny in a way. I feel like I just did a Miss America statement, but I really genuinely believe that you know, is foundational. And we've gotten away from really making learning about our Lord and Savior a priority. And we've given our children choices. And when it's not foundational in you, you don't know and you're not taught. I think some of the basic humanities that should exist within us don't. I think more selfishness exists in us. So we're all about ourselves as individuals. As opposed to truly loving our neighbors, truly looking out for our neighbors, truly having a heart for and genuine compassion and concern for the loss of life. We look at it as something that's happening over there, as opposed to someone that is, deserves to have had life. Each one of those children deserves to have life.
Amen.
And those parents should not have had to lose their children in that way. And we should take that personal. Because
amen.
It affects each and every single one of us.
All righty. Is Dr. Kimmy Robinson? Did anybody else join us?
Yes.
I thought I heard Apostle Smith at first, but I guess I didn't.
No. No.
But nobody else
on,
has joined us, right?
Not him.
All
it's
right.
Others
well,
on,
we go
but
in.
Not him.
Okay. To those, is anybody else on that may have joined us? If so, please state your name. Okay. Apparently, they don't want to talk.
This is Marva, and I joined, so I'm just listening. Thank you.
Go ahead, Marva. I mean, it's an open discussion, and we were kind of talking about the double tragedies that have taken place in the last 8 days, and you know, you've heard some of the comments. For those who are here, we do welcome your comment as well. So the door is open. Go ahead.
I think I would just ditto the comments. I didn't hear all of the comments, but obviously there is a need for change, and certainly it's important to make sure that children are, before they leave the house, I think as far as the church is concerned, it's important to just reinforce just making sure the kids are equipped,
mm-hmm.
no matter what age, from birth onwards. There's not an age too young to begin to seed or deposit the word into their life so that they know how to handle situations that they may be confronted with like that. And,
yeah.
Of course, there's a need for change in laws, so that means that people need to be willing and prepared to speak up and speak out. And that's not going to happen in the absence of us taking a stand and being united in voice when we take that stand.
Okay. All right. Well, we do greatly appreciate you taking the time to be with us. I know we shortened the show just a little bit. We were going to shut down at the top of the hour. And thank you for your comments. I mean, you know, having heard what happened, did you hear everything that took place in Texas? I don't know how much you heard, because I'll be honest with you. When I heard it took them one hour to get inside the building. 1 hour. That person that got in that
minutes.
Building had 90 minutes it was? Okay. 90 minutes. This individual in 90 minutes possibly, we don't know the extent of damage, if all the shootings was one classroom or was it a multitude of classrooms along the way or what the story was. I mean, you know, and I mean, I hate to be the one, I don't want to put more on it than it needs to, but what about those parents? You're standing there knowing that your child is in the school and then you get word that your child has been murdered. What do you do now?
The parents
really?
That there was a classroom. It was one classroom that he got into. It was adjacent to the offices. And
uh-huh.
finding out now, as the parents are standing outside begging to be let into the school, we've also, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, found out that some of the police officers did in fact go into the school and get their own children.
Uh-huh. And then I did hear, or I did read, where one deputy sheriff found out that his child was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how he reacted to that. I'd like to believe he maintained professionalism. I can't guarantee that, because I'll be honest with you, that's me, that's my child. And let me put this way. If that's, and Sister Richard's on the phone, so I could say, if that's her favorite, you know who her favorite is. I don't need to tell you, Corey. But if that's her baby, oh, she's storming in there. Chest protector
yeah.
or no chest protector, she going in. I'm going to get my baby.
Yeah.
I ain't thinking about you people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
I think it's important
really,
to also realize that it didn't just start at the school, because his grandmother, he shot his grandmother. At one point I heard
yes.
he killed his mom, but the fortunate thing is that his grandmother is still alive, as I understand
thank God.
It. But, so, you know, it's sad that nobody knows what the real issue is, that he went to that school, like, who is he really angry with? And then there was discussion, as I understand it, that his girlfriend said that she would pick up where he left off. So
yeah.
there certainly should be things put in place to, I don't know if you say surveillance, but she certainly should be questioned, and there should be protections to prevent her from doing any type of harm to anyone. And
well, you know what, and thank you for bringing that up, because I missed that one because I wasn't listening at that time. But if that statement was made, then that young lady should be sequestered immediately, especially if somebody said she said it, or if they have proof that she said it, that young lady should be sequestered. She should not be allowed. She should be, you know, she should be observed and paid attention to from this point forward, because he's no longer here. She's still here. So now she is a suspect, one to be watched. Wow. Now you just put, you put new fire on, you put a new log on the fire, but I'm not going to extend past. I thank you ladies for being here today. Sister Marva, keep coming, and you know, you might as well make yourself part of the show. When you hear something that you like or don't like, I expect to hear from you. So I'm going to look for you every week starting this week, okay? With all due respect, we thank God for each and every one of you. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I'm going to hear from you, and then I'm going to close the show out. What are your final thoughts, my dear?
Well, I really believe, like you all said, Faye, I really believe that a gun control is needed. Continue on praying for the families and praying for, you know, mental illness. Pray that, you know, we continue on trusting in the Lord. I know it's a crusade for some people, or what can we do? I know it is important that we definitely keep the families in our hearts, because I can't imagine taking my daughter to school and then coming home and finding out that her school had a shooting. That just so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my closing remarks, because I'm still like wondering, why would you want to hurt children? They don't do anything to you. But yeah, continue on praying for the victims. And then I heard that one of the victims' husband had a heart attack because he couldn't take the news. So that's another the husband couldn't take the fact that his wife is gone. So he had a heart attack and he passed away today. So it's just
my
really
God.
Sad. Yeah.
My God.
That was,
well,
you know, it's like saying, like, you and sister, I mean, I know, I don't want to say that, but, you know, I'm just saying, if that's your person, that your soulmate in your life, you know, your trouble in your spirit to the point where it causes you to have a heart attack, that was heavy on him. So we must continue on. Yeah.
And I understand. I do understand. Well, I will say this, and as we begin to close, Sister Kimmy, get the song ready, because we're going to go out on this. I don't know if you have Dietrich Haddon's Heaven Knows. I would love to close with that song if you have it, because basically at the end of the day, okay, don't worry about it. I need a song that's going to reflect on the moment. As we get ready to close, I want you, the listening audience, all right, let me finish talking. I often say we both can't talk at the same time. Anyway, the bottom line is this. I need you, those of you listening, wherever you're listening to us at, to reflect on the families that lost loved ones, those, the mother, the father that's now grieving over the loss of their child who did nothing wrong to nobody, was just sweet innocence and just full of joy, to not be able to hear the pitter-patter of those feet running around the house screaming, "Mommy, so-and-so did this," or, "Daddy, I'm looking for you. Can we go get ice cream?" and all those things. Keep in mind, for that husband who lost his wife, that wife who lost her husband, keep in mind for those children who have been traumatized and etched in the annals of their mind from this day forward, the horror of being that close to experiencing death. And even worse, think about the child who's sitting there, and then all of a sudden there's an AR-15 pointing in their face, and there's some crazy person has got his finger on the trigger and is pulling it back with force. parents. I can't imagine what that child saw in his last moments. Maybe that child got shot in the head and was killed instantly. Maybe they were shot in the chest somewhere where they were able to live for a few extra seconds, and then the struggle to be able to take in breath only to suddenly have to succumb to the injuries that they have suffered. And on top of that, we got a group of adults sitting outside who are supposed to be law enforcement who are trying to figure out how to get into this place when the truth of the matter is that this individual did all his shooting in the earlier parts of his entering into the building, and you're sitting out there trying to strategize and come up with a way. So the matter is, you should have found, I'm not going to tell them how to do their job. I'm not law enforcement. I don't do those kinds of things. But one thing is for sure, heaven has to help us all. We need an answer from on high, and if we ever needed the Lord at any time in this life, in our life, we sure do need him now. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest D. Richard Jr. I want to thank you for your time, and I want to thank you for coming in and joining us. And if you always have comments, you can go to our webpage, The Pastor's Corner. You can always leave a comment. You can always go to my personal page and inbox me with your comments. That's Elder Ernest D. Richard Jr. or Ernest E. Richard Jr. and even Bishop Ernest E. Richard, either one of them. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you thought about today's show. Leave your comments of what you would do if you were a congressman or a congresswoman. Somebody may come up with an idea that we can take to Capitol Hill and hopefully make these people listen to us. Until next week for the Pastor's Corner, may the blessing of the Lord continuously be with you. Have a safe week. Keep those who are in bereavement in prayer, the sick and the afflicted. Don't forget those who have been imprisoned unjustly. And most and foremost, pray for your brothers, pray for your sisters as we pray for you. God bless you. Sister Kimmy Kim, the ball is in your court.
That was awesome.
Lord have mercy.
Another brother being gunned down, another one accused, a homeless. out the people on Capitol Hill. Hope we can all learn from that and rebuild, because we can change the world. Change the world. We can change the world. There you have it. Shay Samuels. Beyond the fifth in the building. Shay Samuels.